55. We'll look at some of the verses in Isaiah 55. Dave here, he keeps saying there's going to be more people, as if that's going to be an encouragement to me. He doesn't realize how nervous that might make me. Isaiah 55.
You're at home, brother. You're at home. Relax. Everybody's your buddy.
Well, so I was at a chapel not long ago, and in the audience was this respected brother that I really looked up to and still do look up to. It might be the first time my memory, where instead of him speaking and me listening, it's the other way around. So as I'm going through the message, I look over at him, and he's like, and I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? Like, what's going on? Anyway, it took me a long time to realize that's just how he thinks. You know, like, he's got this deep scowl on his face. Like, I'm thinking, like, what am I doing wrong? Anyway, so it took me a while to kind of figure out what's going on. But Isaiah 55, we're going to read verse 8 and then just through verse 10. And what we're looking for here is the idea that God's word has this immediate effect, and then it also has kind of a latent effect, kind of a long-term effect. And that's what we want to see in Isaiah 55, 8 through 10. Isaiah's writing what the Lord is saying. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. So the idea is that God speaks his word, and he compares it to rain and snow. And he says, I send it out, and then there's this fruitfulness that results. And same with my word, I send it out, and there's this like fruitfulness that results from it. And we see in this simile, this metaphor, about rain and snow, the idea that there is an immediate effect sometimes to God's word, and then there's kind of this latent effect to God's word. Kind of, there's an effect, but it happens down the road. Now, this is not an uncommon picture of what happens with God's word. We see this in Mark 4, where with the parable of the four soils, the sower sows the seed. We know that the sower is the Lord, and the seed is the word. And he sows the seed, and sometimes the seed sprouts up really quickly. And other times, the seed just kind of sits there for a little bit, and then it sprouts up. And that's not, again, it's not like foreign to us. Right now, in fact, like California has been getting rain like they haven't gotten in decades. And places that people would have normally said were barren, suddenly now have all this like lush plant life and flowers and vegetation, and everybody thought, wow, we thought it was just desert out there. Now all of a sudden there's plant. How did it happen? Well, these seeds were just hiding there in the sand, waiting for the right opportunity, and given the right opportunity against everybody's like expectations, start to grow, and you suddenly have this like blossoming kind of desert area, where at first you might have thought, well, it was just barren and unfruitful, but now all of a sudden, with a little bit of rain, all of a sudden that seed kind of springs up. So sometimes we get an immediate response, sometimes it takes a little while, and that's what we see here. Sometimes we get an immediate response to God's word, sometimes it takes a little while. Now to understand that better, I'm going to take you, most of you, back to 8th grade science, and we're going to look at nothing other than the water cycle. So here's my diagram of the water cycle, and just to kind of refresh you, if you don't know this or if you haven't learned it yet, basically goes like this. Here's a mountain and some clouds above it, and we've got some snow coming down from the clouds to make this kind of snow cap on the mountain, and we've got some rain on the windward side here as it's coming down, and that forms some rivers and maybe a lake. The rivers and rain water places like farms and fruit trees and other plant life. And then the water evaporates from the lake or the streams and rivers, even through transpiration, if you want to get super in-depth, from plants. But the water returns then back to the sky where it forms clouds, and then we get the cycle kind of all over again. In a similar way, that's how Isaiah is describing how God's word acts. God's word comes down, kind of like rain comes down. The result is this fruitfulness, this plant life starts to grow. And then, now that the plant life has grown as a result of the rain, the water evaporates and returns. So God says, I send my word, there's fruitfulness, change happens, there's growth, and then it returns back to me, he says. But it doesn't come back until it does what I ask it to do, or what I sent it out to do. So God sends the message. The message is, I want to reveal that I'm faithful. And so it's like rain coming from the ground, this message that God is faithful. And it waters the earth, and people see or hear God's word, his message, and they say, oh, you know, God's faithful. And then they return that back. God, you're faithful. Now, for some of us, we need like a thunderstorm to kind of wash away some, or like, I don't know, kind of wear us down a little bit to get us to the point where we recognize that God is faithful. But it comes back just like he sent it. He said, it's going to accomplish my purpose. My purpose is to show I'm faithful. So it's kind of like rain that comes down and it produces this fruit. And then we say back to God, Lord, you're faithful. And it accomplished the purpose for which he sent it. And so it sort of acts like that, that water cycle. Now, when we get the rain side, we see the sort of immediate effect. Anyone here that's ever had to mow a lawn understands the immediate growth that happens after rain, right? Especially on like summer days, early in the spring. We get a little bit of rain, and you're like, oh, no big deal. The last time I cut my grass, it was down to AstroTurf, so I'm in pretty good shape, right? So the rain comes, the sun shines afterwards, you walk outside the next day, and it's like 8 inches tall, and you're like, what? Now I've got to like mow twice and then rake. Like, but it's kind of this immediate result, this kind of an immediate effect, and sometimes we see that when God sends his word. Like in Psalm 27:8, you said to me, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. It's kind of this immediate response. You said to me, seek my face. My heart replied back, Lord, your face, I'll seek it. It's kind of this immediate reaction to God's word. So it's kind of like the rain side of this, where the reaction is more immediate. But other times, it's more like the snow side. See, when we get precipitation as snow, it sits here as this kind of snow cap for a long time. And people might look at that snow cap and say, yeah, that's just kind of wasted water up there. There it is. It's snow water just kind of hanging out there doing not much of anything. But as summer wears on and heats up a little bit, it starts to melt. And then we get this like river that continues to water the ground. And the result of it comes much later than when the snow fell. When the rain falls, the result's pretty immediate. But when the snow falls, the water stays as snow for a while. And then it seems like a long time later before it finally melts, we get the water from it, and then the fruit from it, then the result from it. And sometimes that's the result of God's word. It takes a little while before it kind of melts or sinks in, and then we see a result. Now, can I give you some examples of this from Scripture? Well, yes. The immediate examples are easy. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Like, it was pretty fast, right? It didn't take a long time. It happened pretty quick. God said to Abraham, leave this place. And what does Abraham do? Well, he leaves that place. He kind of seems to pack up sort of quickly. God says to Noah, start building an ark. Noah says, all right, give me a hammer, because I'm not sure what that is yet. Right? So the obedience seems kind of immediate. And those examples we find in Scripture, we find them frequently because we look for them and we like them because we think to ourselves, that's great, immediate obedience. And it should be. That should be kind of the standard. But that's not always how God works. Sometimes it takes a little while for the change to happen, like a snowfall. It takes a while for it to melt. And then we start to see the effect of it. So what are some examples of this? Well, I think you'll find one example in Matthew 21. In that passage, the Lord is telling a parable about two sons. He says there's a father, he has two sons. And he says to the first, go work in my vineyard. And what does the first son say? He says, no. So the father says to the second son, son, go work in my vineyard. And the son says, I go, sir. Now, interestingly, the first son realizes he has insulted his father. He said, I had a reasonable request. Go work in my vineyard. The son said, no, I'm not going to do it. But later, he regretted what he had said. He thought, you know, I insulted him. I wasn't right for me to refuse this request from my father. And now that I think about it, I was wrong to say that. I'm going to go work in the vineyard. And so he goes. Now, the obedience was not immediate in that parable. It took a while. Like, it took a little bit for the son to realize, I've said no, I've insulted my father, and now I regret that. I'm going to do what he said. So he does what his father asked him to do. In fact, that was the point of the parable. The Lord said, which of these two did the will of his father? Because the second son said, I go, sir. Did he ever go? And he never left. He never went. He stayed at home. Got all comfy. And the effect, it took a little while on that first son for him to realize that he had insulted his dad and then obey. So there was kind of this like latent effect of the word. I'd like to show you some other examples. One is in 1 Kings. Look at 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. And verse 1 and 2. And behold, it says, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, I want you to understand how early in the timeline of the kings we're talking here. Jeroboam and Rehoboam, this would have been Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Jeroboam takes the 10 tribes pretty much the tribe of Judah is left. So it's early in the line of the kings. This is the first king of Israel. And he sets up these altars. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And the prophet cries out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. All right, so he gives this prophecy here. Now, decades later, maybe even hundreds of years later, there's Josiah, and he's kind of riding along, and he sees this altar, and he says, oh, there's an altar. It's not an altar of God. Let's destroy it. And so they start to destroy it. And he says, let's burn some bones on it so we can desecrate it. And so they start digging up graves to desecrate it. And they come to this grave, and Josiah says, wait, stop digging for a second. Whose grave is this? And the people in the town say, you know, a long time ago, there was a prophet. And the prophet said that there would be a person, a child named Josiah, who, well, burned men's bones on this altar. Now, this was a long time ago that God had sent forth this word. Lots of times had passed, decades, maybe even centuries had passed. And now the people are remembering that God had said this would happen. And it's fulfilling the purpose for which God had sent that word all those years ago. It fulfilled that purpose. So there's an example where it took a long time for them to see the truth of it. The altar stood for a long time, probably used for a long time, before people saw the truth of what God's word was, that this prophet had said what was going to happen to it. Let's look at another example in John chapter 2 and verse 17. John chapter 2, verse 17. So the Lord Jesus is cleansing the temple. He drives out the money changers. He said to those who were selling doves, "Take them away. My Father's house would not be a house of merchandise." Verse 17, "Then his disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up.'" All right, so the Lord is acting these things out. And as he does, the disciples think back to Psalm 69. And they think, oh, the Lord's fulfilling this word that God had sent all those years ago. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. But they didn't quite get all of that meaning yet. So keep looking. Why did you do these things? Jesus said, destroy this temple. I'm going to raise it up. Oh, it's taking us years to build it. How can you only do it in 3 days? Verse 21. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. John didn't realize at the time he was speaking of the temple of his body. John realized it later. We find that out in the next verse. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. It seems that when it says they believed the scripture, it's referring to Psalm 69. They believed that that was applying to the Lord. And then here, where it says the words that Jesus had said about destroy my body and I'll raise it up, they believed what he had said. So the Lord did these things, but it was kind of like this snow. It just sat in their mind. They didn't get it, and we know they didn't get it because all these instances through the Gospels, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die. Oh, yeah, where can I sit in the kingdom? I'm dying. So follow me. Die with me. Oh. Right? They didn't get it. And it took a while. But after Jesus died, and then he was risen from the dead, it was like the snow melted. And now that word that God had sent was watering in their mind. And they were believing the word that Jesus had said and seeing how he was fulfilling these prophecies all the way back from Psalm 69. That zeal for your house has eaten me up. It's consumed me. They remembered. So sometimes when the Lord speaks, it's like rain. It comes down hard and fast, and the result is immediate growth. Other times, it just kind of has to sit there like snow for a while, and it takes a long time before it kind of melts off, and then you see the results of it. When I was in high school, I had an anatomy teacher, and my anatomy teacher would say to us, one of the hardest parts of my job, I'm almost quoting him verbatim, by the way. This was a long time ago for me. But he said, one of the hardest parts of my job is to teach you about things you're not going to care about for another 20 to 30 years. And we looked at him and said, that's right, we don't care. We're young and healthy and strong and ignorant. But I didn't know that then. But sure enough, 20 years later, well, 30 years later, 30 years later, I think back to some of the things he said, and I'm like, you know what? It's true. Like those health issues that we talked about in class, I got a little different perspective on them now. You know, it took a while. Like he said those things, and it was kind of like the snow. It took a while before it finally took effect. When God speaks, sometimes it takes a while. The word is kind of like this snowfall. It sits in our mind for a while, and it takes a while before it takes effect. Now, why am I telling you about all this anyway? It's for this reason. Sometimes we share God's word with someone. We can tell. The Lord wants us to just have a word in season with this person. So we share God's word with that person. And sometimes it's a great immediate effect. I don't know if you saw, like, Jabe just recently had this Facebook post. It was very encouraging. He got in a taxi, and he was really tired and from studying, and he said to the taxi driver, does life begin after 50? And the taxi driver said, I don't know, what's your book say about that? And Jabe was like, oh, so I shared the gospel with him. He pulls over in the taxi, gets saved. We're like, wow, that's a great immediate effect of God's word. But let's say that same scenario, and he gives him a verse or a scripture, and the guy says, and just keeps driving. Are we any less encouraged? Maybe that would be the scripture that the Lord's going to bring back to his mind years later. Like, we don't know. But my point is, we shouldn't be discouraged, because sometimes God works that way. Like, it takes a while, but it's still powerful. It's still fruitful, and it's going to accomplish the thing that the Lord sent it to do. And that's the promise that we can count on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that it is powerful, even though sometimes we might not see immediate results. But we're thankful that sometimes it just takes a while, but the word still has power, and it still can be life-changing, and we're thankful for that. Lord, help us to be encouraged to continue to share it, and to do that for your glory, Lord. And we pray this in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, that's right. I'm glad you didn't.